Well, here we are, folks, podcasting from the number 6 train. Just left Yaroslavskaya Station in Moscow, Russia. Destination Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. So, this is the start of four days and change. And I'm here in my little compartment, and the train's a-rockin', and we haven't quite left Moscow yet, but we're on our way, and it's pretty amazing, I have to say. It's a weird experience. I'm in the compartment. I don't have a berthmate yet. I don't know if one's going to jump on at some point on the journey, so it's just me here. I think there's a few other people in the train. I haven't seen that many people. There are some nice Mongolian ladies that greeted me, helped me find my berth and kind of get set up. So just to describe it, it's pretty small. It's about 7 feet by 5 feet, and there's a bench on either side. Each side has the bench folds out into a bed. Not a very wide bed, so there's not going to be a lot of luxurious spread-eagling tonight. There's some hooks to hang my jacket and my icebreaker. There's little TVs on each side. I haven't tried them out. There's a shelf up on top to put baggage, so I've kind of, like, organized my stuff. There was a cool little roll-out rug that I rolled out, so there's a little ambiance here and a nice soft floor, so I don't have to just stand on the linoleum part of the floor. What else? There's a couple different lighting effects. There's not sure what else. Let's see. There's a little tea kettle for hot water, and over on the end of the car, there's a like a water dispenser. I know it's got a special name, but I'm blanking on the name. So I've got my sack here. I'll ruffle it just for sound effects. Hopefully you can hear that. It's got my starter kit of some cup of noodles, some trail mix, some Pringles, some juice, and a sandwich, and of course a bottle of celebratory vodka, which I might have to bust out a little shot. Maybe let me do that on this podcast here, just a second. Okay, so this is, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Tonka vodka. I really couldn't tell what's quality and what's crap, but this seemed like decent. It's got a nice picture of a stag in the middle of a glittery snow-covered forest. So I'm going to open this baby up. Man, I'm kind of excited. I was nervous about this, and I posted that silly post on Facebook about it. But now I'm kind of getting excited. I don't know. Talk to me in 48 hours. I might be bored to tears. But, okay. Let me take my gum out. And I don't have a glass, so I'll just swig it. That is good stuff. Woo. Yeah, baby. Well, it's not terrible. It's good. It's good, actually. It's kind of smooth. Put my gum back in. So, I mean, it's like midnight, but I'm not really tired. I'm kind of amped right now. So maybe I can talk about the last couple days in Moscow. I was a bit of a lazy ass. As I kind of mentioned in my last podcast, went on a few dates, and that was super fun. But then over the weekend, kind of laid low for the most part. I did a lot of walking around, but the weather warmed up a little bit, so the snow turned to rain, so it was kind of like not really awesome conditions to walk around. I would have preferred it being colder and then have snow versus rain. So what else? Downloaded a lot of movies, TV shows. I'm literally like, I think my laptop is down to its last gigabyte because I've like packed it with so much entertainment, just because I guess I'm so paranoid about just getting like extremely bored on the train. I just wanted to have stuff to watch and do and stuff, and I downloaded some books. Probably start listening to one of those books tonight, because I sure I'm not gonna be able to sleep right away. Wouldn't that be funny if I just like stayed up all night and just had an all-night party and just drained this bottle of vodka? That's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. I'll wait till... we'll see if I have a bunk mate at some point, and then we'll party it up a little bit, play some cards. Still got my cards from Jordan. And I got some seltzer water, which I like seltzer water. It's really nice. This is a big honking bottle of seltzer water. I haven't checked out the bar car yet. I don't even know if it's open. It's probably too late. I did check out the toilets. They appear clean, and there's a sit-down toilet. I was led to believe that they are squat toilets, and they are not, and I'm very thankful for that. I did not spy a shower, sadly. I don't know. I'll go exploring probably tomorrow and check out the rest of the train cars, see what's about. I'm jumping around. So the last few days... Moscow, there's not a whole lot to report. I mean, I stayed in the hotel Budapest, and it was just nice to be able to kind of spread out and have a room to myself and not have to like tiptoe around a bunch of other people. I broke down and went to Papa John's and got myself a Mexican pizza. which I guess consists of like tomatoes, onions, and jalapenos, and that means it's Mexican, so go figure. And they didn't cut it. I don't know why they wouldn't cut a pizza in slices. It kind of reminds me of Kyle Kinane's bit. If you guys know Kyle Kinane, he's an awesome comedian, but he's talking about ordering a pizza and they like give it to him and it's not cut. And he's like, you know, we know you're going to eat the whole thing. So he just folded it up like a giant taco and ate it like a taco. If you haven't checked out Kyle Kinane, you got to listen to his comedy. It's amazing. So I had some pizza, watched Watchmen. I'm not totally sold on it, but I'll give it a chance. I've got like the first three episodes, and I've watched two of them, so I'll give it a chance. I like Taraji Henson. She's a good actress. Ever since, I think Boys in the Hood is the first time I saw her. And then, I'm just going to talk randomly because I got no one to talk to right now. But watched The King, which is about Henry V, and I don't know the actor's name, Timothy something Chalamet. Chalamet, something. Man, that was really good. I haven't seen a period piece that really blew me away like that in a long time. I just felt like it moved at a really brisk pace, and I'm sure they had to like simplify a lot of things. And I've heard some people talk about like this should have been spread out to a miniseries, which I agree. But I was really happy with the movie. The battle scenes are just amazing. They're just more realistic. Like, I can't stand these battle scenes where it's like the heroes just square off in the middle of this giant melee, and nobody attacks them. They're just all like fighting each other in the background, and of course the one hero fights the other hero, and this just seems a lot more just brutal and realistic, and just everybody slipping around in the mud, and they're all just like mashed together, and everybody's just killing each other in just awful ways. And the siege scene, you know, it one of my biggest pet peeves is, like, you see these, like, quote-unquote sieges or these battles where they set up trebuchets. And then, you know, can you imagine how long it would take to build a freaking trebuchet? And they'll have, and then they'll start the battle, and they'll fire off, like, one volley, and then they'll just charge. And in real life, they would have, I'm going to have another sip of vodka. In real life, this is Zach breaks down medieval movie faux pas. This is my new podcast, by the way. I've changed the whole format. While sipping vodka on a train. So, I should get out the grapefruit juice. Oh, I could be having a Greyhound right now. It's amazing. If I had some ice, that would just make it amazing. So, in this, they actually set up the trebuchets, and they just sit there, and I don't know how much time passes by, but by the cutscenes, you can tell it's been, like, at least, like, weeks or something. And they're just pounding away at this castle, which is what would really happen. They would just sit there and pound on it until the people inside surrender, or the castle walls just come tumbling down, and then you can charge. You don't just fire off one volley and then just go and attack the walls. Like, that's stupid. Anyway, that's my little pet peeve about trebuchets in movies. As you can maybe tell, I wish I had a trebuchet, you know, ever since the History Channel had these guys building a trebuchet from scratch and then firing it at a wall that they built. It was just like, man, I wish I had one of those. So, yeah, so it's going to be 4.5 days of just me literally talking to myself and going slowly mad like Colonel Kurtz in Apocalypse Now. I'm just going to be sitting there like... sitting here just ordering people around and, you know, creating, like, becoming a demigod among the pygmy tribe. So, yeah, it's getting a little weird here in this podcast, but I think that's what, riding the rails is all about. Just gotta get a little weird. So, I think I can't decide which book I'm going to listen to. I'll just read off the titles here, and maybe you can decide for me. Well, you're not going to have a chance to decide, because it's going to be like another... Well, I still have LTE, so I can still contact people. But, let's see. I've got Johann Hari, Lost Connections, Uncovering the Real Causes of Depression and Unexpected Solutions. I picked up this book because I had read his previous book called Chasing the Scream, which is about the history of the drug war, and it was just fascinating and amazing. So, wanted to check this one out. Got The Golden Compass, His Dark Materials, which I think now is a series on HBO. It's like a little bit of a fantasy. The Master and the Margarita by Mikhail Bulgakov. Supposed to be amazing. Calypso by David Sedaris. Neither Here Nor There by Bill Bryson. Killers of the Flower Moon by David Gran. This one I've started. I'm going to have to probably restart it because I kind of got sidetracked. But this is a cool one. Sorry, I'm like wiping rainwater off my head right now because it was raining really hard when I boarded the train, and now I'm basically just going to be a hot mess by the time I get off this train. It's only been, what, 20 minutes, and I'm just like damp, and I'm going to be just disgusting unless I find a way to bathe myself. Sponge baths in the latrine. Anyway, Killers of the Flower Moon. So, the Osage Indians, or Osage, I'm not sure the correct pronunciation. These people were moved about by the U.S. government over and over again, and they eventually located to a plot in Oklahoma. And smartly, in the treaty that they signed, they kept mineral rights to the land that they were relocated to. Well, lo and behold, they discover a ton of oil there. And this tribe, at one time, I think they were the richest per capita people in the world. They just had so much money. So then all these, you know, scam artists and grifters and people were trying to take advantage of them. And then, of course, like all chapters in American history, some fuckhead starts murdering members of the tribe. And so apparently, I haven't gotten too far into it, but apparently this is when, at some point, this series of murders led to the creation of the FBI. So it's supposed to be an amazing book, and I hope to finish it on this journey. Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. A Brief History of Humankind. I've had, like, multiple people tell me this is a great book, so I'm looking forward to reading that. I have a little ways to go on The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. I started it back in Norway and then just kind of lost track of time. It's really good. It's basically like, how do I describe it? I mean, it's about this slave girl, and she escapes the plantation and makes it to the Underground Railroad. But in this story, the Underground Railroad is a literal thing. It's an actual railroad that's underground. And so there's sort of this fantastical, well, as she goes through different stops on the railroad, it shows sort of different chapters of history and how African Americans are being treated in different chapters of history. So it's really a cool idea. So I'm looking forward to finishing that. And then I've got the Expeditionary Force. It's kind of a fun, just like series. These like it's a space thing, you know. It's silly sci-fi. Rosewater by Tade Thompson. Haven't started that, so I can't really say what it's about. And Margarita, Golden Compass. Yeah, which, I mean, there's no way I'm going to be able to listen to all these books. Oh, so that brings up a point. If you listen to an audiobook, can you say that you've read the book? Some people agree, some people disagree. I'd like to know what you think. Is listening, does it count as reading a book? Or do you say do you have to say, like, I listened to that book? I don't know. I like listening to books. I like reading books, too, but listening to books allows me to multitask, so I can, like, when I'm on a road trip or driving somewhere or doing errands or other stuff or at the dog park, I can be listening to an audiobook. Yeah, so that's my reading list for this trip. Let's see how many of those I get through. So what can I say so far? I mean, I'm a little over two-thirds of the way into this journey, and it's just been amazing. Like, the last trip was amazing, too. I felt like it went faster. I feel like this one's going by slower, but I don't mean that in a bad way. It's like each stop or each chapter is like its own little mini adventure with its own set of just interesting aspects to it. You know, some of them like I would say Greece, I was kind of alone for the most part. Others, I was much more social. You know, places like Lebanon, I met amazing people and became fast friends with new people. And then obviously in Jordan, I reconnected with people I already knew and then had an amazing experience on the build, and then the other sites and stuff that we did afterwards. There's been moments of contemplation, moments of excitement, moments of just joy. There's been a few downtimes, but I would say they're pretty short-lived. And I would say the first, when I think about how I was acting in Norway, the first stop of the journey, I just had all this, like, anxiety pent up. And now, I mean, I'm doing all these crazy things, and I feel really calm. Like, that's the thing, is, like, I posted that thing on Facebook about anxiety about the train, and there was a little bit of that, but it's really, honestly, I feel really calm about everything. Everything's just seems to be working out, like, pretty well. Like, I mean, I've had a few little mess-ups. Oh, and then I lost my hard drive. I missed a flight in Greece. Lost a few little things. Lost all my sweatbands, which I could really use right now, because I'm just, like, my head's all drippy right now. But everything is just, like, working out really well. Like, I just seem to be able to just sort of show up in a place, check into a hostel or hotel or whatever, and meet new people and have an amazing experience. And I'm not sitting around, like, worrying about, like, things that I missed out on or, like, not doing enough or doing too much or whatever. I'm just doing the amount of stuff that I want to do. Like, there was a few things that I kind of planned to do in Moscow that I didn't get around to doing because I kind of just, like, was, like, laying back the last couple days and just taking it easy. But I totally don't mind that. Like, I had an amazing time in Moscow. And yeah, it would have been great to see St. Petersburg, but I kind of weighed the pros and cons and said, you know, I could sit and, you know, plan another round trip, train trip to St. Petersburg and find a hostel and do that and then explore around and probably do that for, like, maybe 2 days and then rush back to Moscow and try to do everything. But, you know, like, it was nice just kind of living in a city. Sometimes it's just nice to just be in a place and not have to, like fill up your whole day with, like, different events and things. And I did, you know, I met up with Brian. We went to some nice restaurants, went to Marivana, went to this place Pinch, went to Sheba, went to Ulagek, and went on a couple dates with people, you know, had some great food, saw the Kremlin, saw the Red Square, saw the Diamond Fund, rode around the metro, went to the Cosmonaut Museum and stuff. So I did a lot of stuff. I mean, there's no, you know, so, and going to Mongolia, it turns out I only really have, like, 3 days of full, like, non-transit days, but I was able to cobble together this little tour, which looks really fun, and looks like it's, like, the perfect amount of stuff. I know my friend April just went to Mongolia, and I think she was there 2 weeks, I might be wrong on that, and did a lot of stuff there. But again, I'm not going to have FOMO about not having enough time. I'm just, like, it's like I'm at this amazing buffet, and I don't have to eat every single thing at the buffet. I can just, like, sample little bites here and there and just get a nice little sampling of things. So that's all it is. I'm really curious about Mongolia. I have no idea what to expect. It should be amazing. I know I'm saying amazing a lot, but it is amazing. And let's see. I'll just mention that I had a nice little travel thing happen. Well, it's not even worth talking about. Never mind. But today I had to check out of the Budapest Hotel and was wondering what I was going to do. Plus, I had to... I checked out of the Budapest Hotel, and right across the street is the Central Hostel / Hotel. And so I had to explain to them what I was wanting, but I basically paid for a night even though I told him, look, I don't even need a bed. I just want a place to hang out for the day. And it's like $12. So I just basically hung out at the Central Hostel today. Well, I went to Starbucks and I got a coffee and I went to Subway and got a sandwich there. And there was a nice guy from Kyrgyzstan. I met two people from Kyrgyzstan, which is one of the places that's on my bucket list. So on whatever the next future around the world trip, I'm definitely putting Kyrgyzstan on my list. So, okay. And then, I hate to talk smack about people, 'cause I really honestly will like to talk to anyone. But there was this guy, he's probably late 20s in the hostel, and he's American. He's from, I don't want to give too many details, but he had been living in Russia for like the last, 3 years, and he's moving back to, the U.S. And he's very like, I'm gonna take another sip of vodka. He's very like wound up, and it's mostly about women. He's just got women on the brain, and he just launches into these stories about how like he's been trying to date and it's just not working out, and he keeps getting friend zoned, and he goes on these different dates, and it is like Russia is. If you just go on Tinder, it's easy to get matches. And the way my friend Brian explained it is like, it's a closed off country. And so they're just like interested in something new and different. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be like successful with ladies or you're going to get like laid a bunch. It just means that, I don't know, you're going to get matches and you'll have opportunities to go out and date and whatever. But I don't know enough about the dating scene, about men and women in Russia to really like say, but according to this guy, he was just really frustrated. And I'm like, first of all, I'm like, I'm the last guy you need to talk to. Like my dating prowess is long gone. And I don't know anything about Russian women other than just the two that I like went out on dates with. And I'm older, and I don't know how to talk to like a 20 something year old. So he's sort of talking to me, like prompting advice for me. And I'm like, I don't know. And I just said, look, man, I think the best thing you can do is stop worrying about what they're doing and try to cultivate like interests and things on your own, and try to make yourself kind of the best person that you can be, and find a sense of like inner happiness. I'm not saying go and be a monk or something, but I'm saying like try to learn what makes you happy first, and then once you find that sense of ease, I think you're just going to be like easier around women in general, not just Russian women, but like women in general. And it's not looking at it as like this scoreboard that you have to like put some numbers on, and look at it as like, what's going to make you happy in your life? He just seemed like a lost soul, and I felt really bad for him. And I talked to him for like an hour or so today. And I felt like I had no business like giving him advice, but on the other hand, I felt like I did give him some good advice. And then later, so that was him, and I hope he's does well. I hope he finds what he's looking for. And then later I met this Russian guy from St. Petersburg named Alexei, and he was just this crazy dude. He's really funny. He used to be a professional football player, and for like 4 years, I'm not sure like what league or whatever, he kind of alluded to making about ₹1 million a month, which is something like $15,000 a month, which he dumped a bunch of that into his father's business, and his father's business kind of got that off the ground. And now, in return, his father supports him. So he sounds like he doesn't really have to work. I don't know. I don't really understand it, but he doesn't. He's like, I don't like working. I don't like people telling me what to do. I'm like, join the club, but And anyway, he's staying in the hostel for a few days, and then he is going off to Bangkok for the winter. I'm like, dude, that's smart. If I was living in Russia, that's what I would do. So, it was too bad because he seemed really fun. Oh, and then he was telling me about how he likes to order weed off Tor, which is like basically the dark web, and how it all works and everything. And so he was like, hey man, you want to smoke later? And I'm like, well, I'm going out with my friend one last time, and then I got to go to this train station, so thanks anyway. It's too bad too, because like the hostels, well, the Kremlin Lights hostel and then this hostel seemed a little non-social until I met Alexei and then his friends Andrew and Stasi. It's too bad that I didn't have a night or two to stay there, and I was just staying there during the day, because I think that would have led to some fun stories, but oh well. I should have learned my lesson with the Azeri guy, but I guess I haven't. So anyway, I've rambled long enough. It's only 31 minutes of just wasting your time and my time. No, I'm just kidding. I have plenty of time to waste, so I'm almost 1 hour down of my 94 hours left to go, so I have made some progress. So you probably won't hear this podcast for a few days, because I'm doubtful I'll be able to upload it, but I might just keep making them. I'll just keep like sucking down this vodka and then just rambling into a microphone. So how about that? How about them apples? All for now, I'm going to listen to some audiobooks and then get a good night's sleep on this rocking train. I hope all of you are doing well. I miss everyone back home. And peace out.